You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on our Bible on Business series, Leadership Edition, going through the book of Acts. For those of you who are new here, we started our Bible on Business series last year because the Lord shared with me that there are too many Christian entrepreneurs who are devaluing what the Word has to say about business. We look at all the business books, the courses, the YouTubes, the experts. But there is so much right here in Scripture for our businesses, not just how He wants to bless us, not just how He wants to prosper us financially, but there's so much as it relates to partnerships, marketing, sales, all of the things that have to do with business is right here in the text. And so we started this last year and we're continuing to explore the Bible and what it has to say about business. Quick church announcement. I have my Christian Content Creator Town Hall that's coming up tomorrow, February 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This episode is going to come out the night of February 4th. So right now it's Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. when I started recording this. So understanding if you miss the Christian Content Creator Town Hall, I'm going to put the link in the show notes for you to register for the replay. And I'm also going to put the link in the show notes for you to apply and learn more about my Purpose to Podcast program. The town hall is going to be so good. I cannot wait to share everything that the Lord has given me to share with those who are called to create online. It's free. And my podcast mentor program, I'm extremely excited about because I've seen so much growth and success with my mentees over the past year. And I'm looking forward to having a new cohort, a new group of podcasters or aspiring podcasters that I could pour into and help you develop, grow, monetize, scale your platforms. And most importantly, do so in a way to where you're staying true to what the Lord has called you to do and how He's called you to do it. So if you're interested in working with me, click the link in the show notes to learn more and apply for the program. And I'll also include the link for the webinar. So if you miss it, because again, I know this podcast episode is coming out close to when the actual event is, but if you miss it, you will have access to the replay as well. All right. So today's episode is all about premature leadership. We are discussing the dangers of premature leadership. When we first started off this series, I had an episode where I was introducing a new perspective on the wait, that period between what the Lord has shown you and it actually manifesting, that in between, it gets a bad rap a lot of the times. And I wanted to present to you a new approach and a new mindset as you're in that wilderness season, that waiting season, in an effort for you to have comfort and also for you to rejoice and not miss what the Lord is doing, because that waiting in between period is so pivotal. But as I was also reading, starting out Acts 1, 4 through 5, and I'll just read it to refresh your memory. It says, "Do not leave Jerusalem." This is the instruction to the apostles from Jesus. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And not only did this make me think about the condition of the apostles when they were in this waiting season and the difference in how they acted here versus in previous situations, not only did that make me think about the waiting season and a new perspective and everything that we discussed in a previous episode, it also really made me think about how dangerous it might have been had they jumped the gun. Because they had some very specific instructions. The Lord told them, do not leave Jerusalem yet. Wait. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were still productive. We talked about that in a previous episode as well. They were productive during that period, but they were not disobedient. And then also seeing what happened after that. I mean, they laid the foundation for the Christian church. They really the Holy Spirit multiplied in just magnificent ways every single thing that they did. And me having this context of knowing the impact that they had, but then also knowing the instruction that they had here and the instruction to wait, it made me think, what would have happened if they would have moved prematurely? And so that's what we're going to discuss today, the dangers of premature leadership, because not only do I want you to be patient and content and grateful in whatever wilderness or waiting season you may find yourself in, I also want you to understand the dangers of what could happen if you jump the gun. This year, I celebrate 10 years of entrepreneurship. And if I look at the last 10 years, there have been so many times that I personally have jumped the gun. So many times where the Lord has shown me something to where I was sure, I was certain that this is what He had for me, but I was so excited about it, or I was so discontent in my current circumstances that I went ahead of His timing. And every single time I had to repent, and every single time I suffered something. So this is not just something that I'm telling you intellectually. This is something I'm telling you experientially, because I have been there. And I'm hoping that as we explore this danger of premature leadership, that it'll provide a boundary in a sense for you to where, like the apostles, you may be productive in this season, but not jump the gun, because you don't want to be in this place where you're outside of the will of God based upon jumping ahead of His timing. Just so we're all on the same page, I'm going to be defining premature leadership as stepping into a position of authority before being prepared, trained, or spiritually empowered to handle it. So that's what I mean by premature leadership. Stepping into a position of authority, starting that business, starting that ministry, writing that book, starting that podcast, whatever the case may be, before being prepared by the Lord, trained by the Lord and professionals in education based upon whatever it is that you're doing, or spiritually empowered by the Holy Spirit to handle it. The Bible is very clear on the importance of timing as it relates to leadership. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, we see where it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Proverbs 19:2 tells us, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Habakkuk 2:3 says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place and it will not be delayed. I don't want us to build these businesses, ministries, etc., and be in a place where we are doing things for the Lord, but not with Him. I spoke about this in the society in one of my sessions I did recently, where the Lord was having me share with them that a lot of people have a pace problem, where the Bible tells us that His word is a lamp upon our feet and a light on our path. How are we going to give Him space and room to illuminate the path forward if we're moving too fast and we're moving ahead of Him? How can we be led and directed and taught and guided by the Holy Spirit and dependent on the Holy Spirit if we're running ahead? So we have to practice being like the disciples, being obedient and not leaving to go, to launch, to create, to plant without first being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. We see premature leadership in many facets in today's society. We see it in government. I mean, I don't even think I need to elaborate more on that. The United States right now is like a reality show, and it is scary that this is real life. We see it in corporate. So people who are promoted, but they're unqualified. So somebody who got into a leadership role, they didn't have the proper training, experience, or authority to do what they're doing. They may struggle. They'll struggle getting respect from their employees. They'll struggle in their decision making. And eventually they'll fail because they are not ready to be in that position. How many of you have worked for people who were promoted prematurely, and it impacted you, it impacted morale, it impacted your ability to do your job because you're waiting on things from them? It is a trickle-down effect. In entrepreneurship, a lot of times people will launch businesses without preparation. You launch too soon because you have this idea that you love. You have this excitement for it. Everybody else may be excited about it too, but you don't have the knowledge, the funding, or the support in customers to sustain it. And because of that, you get burnt out. You take financial losses. The business fails. It impacts your confidence, your self-esteem, and all of these different consequences as a result of moving too soon. Speaking of government, we are in a space right now to where what seems stable is crumbling. I live in a DC area, so most people in this area work for the federal government, and it has historically been that way. Growing up, everybody always say you got to get you a good government job. Because you know you're going to have a job. It's not going to go nowhere. You could climb up in the ranks. The benefits are good. That's like the goal for so many people. And we are finding out right now that it is not as stable as we thought. I have family members who are talking about their agencies. They're getting emails every single day of threats of unemployment. Right now, they're offering that resignation to September by, I think you have to resign by one day this week. And they're telling them like, hey, if you don't resign, you may not have a job at all. So there's so much tension and uncertainty that's happening right now because of this administration. And right now there will also be this push. And I'm just going to give you a heads up of what's going to happen in this online space and what you may feel internally as somebody who may be feeling this. You may be feeling the financial impact. Eggs is $465. Okay, like eggs is waffle. I was watching the news. Waffle House about to charge an extra 50 cent for their egg dishes because of the prices. So there's so many people that are feeling hit, and it's only going to get worse as we experience these different tariffs and things like that that'll increase the cost of goods. So there's this pressure that is on Americans right now, and this realization that what was once stable is not that. So there's this pressure to create, to launch, to build, to do something to where you're not relying on someone else for the livelihood of your family. I feel like that is a natural reaction to what is going on. However, that is not an excuse to jump out there into something prematurely, especially business. Hear me out, you guys. It is wise for you to think about, how can I supplement my income? How can I generate extra money? How can I create a job for myself so that I'm not relying on this job? That is smart thinking. That is a great train of thought to take to the Lord and ask Him to direct your steps on what to do next. If that thought process and the reality of the circumstances that we're living in right now pushes you into trying to jump out there and then spiritualizing it, calling it a leap of faith, it is not wise for you to do that. There are many consequences of premature leadership. So do not let the fear of what's happening right now push you into something worse. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. It's the top of the year. Are you still thinking about what this year will hold for business? If you ask 9 experts, you'll get 10 answers. Rates will rise or fall, inflation's up or down. Everybody wants the right answers. Until then, over 41,000 businesses have future-proofed their business with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud ERP, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one fluid platform. With one unified business management suite, there's one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control you need to make quick decisions. With real-time insights and forecasting, you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in days, not weeks, you're spending less time looking backwards and more time on what's next. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I would use. Whether your company is earning millions or even hundreds of millions, NetSuite helps you respond to immediate challenges and seize your biggest opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, download the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/blessed. The guide is free to you at netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. Ladies, can we talk for a second? Do you ever feel yourself being overwhelmed by hormonal changes? You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors that are living rent-free in our environment right now. I mean, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, everything, they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the normal hormonal changes that our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. Do not let the fear of what's happening right now push you into something worse. I don't know who needed to hear that, but that's for somebody. Because those of us who are in this online space, I've been pretty disconnected. I ain't been on social media or anything like that. But if I know human behavior, I could tell you right now, the gurus, the online experts in air quotes are going to be right here trying to tell you what to do, trying to get you to buy from them so that they can save themselves from whatever may be happening. So don't let that pressure from life, from your job, from the government, from your own emotions, or even online people push you into something premature. If you do, here's what you're most likely going to have to deal with. First, business failures and burnout. If you take on a leadership role of being the CEO of a company before being mentally, emotionally, and spiritually ready, you're going to get burnt out. Entrepreneurship is hard. It is a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of hats that you wear in the very beginning. There's so many different layers to it. And then building something that's sustainable, that's going to last, that is going to be a reliable source of income for you and all of that, that takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And you have to be ready for it. If not, that excitement is going to wear off. That lack of strategy is going to lead to failure. Hence why most businesses fail within the first few years. Another consequence of moving too soon is that you can ruin your reputation and lose trust with your potential consumers. When you move too fast, you make more mistakes. And as you make mistakes, especially those avoidable ones that you didn't have to make had you been taking your time, that could really hurt your credibility. People buy from those they know, they like, and they trust. So people may know you, they may like you because your content is good, maybe you have good relationships, but if they can't trust you because in your zeal and excitement or fear-based decision-making, you have made so many mistakes, that's going to hurt your credibility and people are not going to trust you to spend their money with you. When people ask around before partnering with you in any type of way, if they don't hear good things, that's going to ruin an opportunity. Me personally, before I work with people, I always ask around, hey, have you worked with this person before? Hey, I see that we both follow this person. Have you worked with them? What are they like? They say they're a Christian, but do they really follow the Lord? I ask around. And I know people ask around about me and my businesses. I love when, especially with Anchored Media Studios, where we get referrals and people come and want to work with us and use our space because they heard about us from such and such and they love their experience so much. So now they want to do more business with us. Just that credibility and that reputation is something that will take you so far. And the worst thing that you can do is ruin it early on. Another consequence of moving too soon is mismanagement of resources and people. If you don't have the wisdom and the strategy as you're going out to launch these ventures, it could cause you to mismanage money, which will make a situation worse. it'll cause you to mess up team dynamics. If you have contractors, anybody that's helping you with something, it could mess up that dynamic. It could also mess up the vision. You could be your business's own worst enemy, working against what God probably really gave you a vision for by just simply moving too soon. Don't take my word for it. Let's look at some real world examples. Have y'all heard of WeWork? I've studied WeWork in depth because I have a co-working space, but WeWork is a very popular co-working space that grew super fast. I mean, we had so many here in the DC area, but they had locations everywhere. The CEO of WeWork, Adam Neumann, he was this charismatic founder. He built the company into this massive global co-working brand. He was this eclectic guy. There's a documentary on Hulu about WeWork. If you just Google it, you'll find it. But he was this guy that is described as having a lot of vision and a lot of zeal, but not having a lot of strategic discipline. And he led WeWork into this rapid expansion that had no accountability whatsoever. He was just taking off running, selling everybody dreams, blowing all the smoke, and everybody drank the Kool-Aid. But here's what happened as a result of that. WeWork expanded aggressively, but without profitability. They expanded aggressively. So you got all these locations popping up, but they were not making any money. And they were relying heavily on venture capital funding and this flawed business model. And it was so crazy because their valuations for the company kept growing because they kept raising money, but they weren't making anything. So it was all smoke and mirrors. And Neumann in particular, his leadership style was very impulsive and he lacked a lot of financial discipline, which led to the company's failed IPO in 2019. And that ended up wiping out billions and billions of dollars in their valuation. The key mistake here is that he tried to expand prematurely. He didn't have a solid foundation like a profitability model, like there was nothing in place for them to make money. They didn't have sustainable leadership. He had this zeal. He had this vision. He had this excitement. He had this ability to move people and get people on board, but he didn't have wisdom, accountability, and he definitely didn't have a strong operational foundation. So he ended up, I believe, getting removed as the CEO of WeWork. And in 2019, I believe they still tried to revive it, the new leadership, but in 2019, they filed for bankruptcy. And then the company was removed from the New York Stock Exchange quickly after that. So they went from a $47 billion company, that was their valuation, to bankrupt because of premature leadership. The story is pretty interesting. It's a lot to it that I couldn't cover here. So if you have Hulu, definitely check out that documentary. It's a good watch. Another example, Elizabeth Holmes from the company Theranos. This is another story that was turned into documentaries. There was a show, a limited series on Hulu back in 2022 that came out called The Dropout that introduced this story. And funny enough, I ended up watching the series because I like dramas, but I was like, wait, this was based on a true story. And then I ended up realizing that this was a real thing. I thought it was fiction. But Elizabeth Holmes, she founded the company Theranos at 19. She was very excited and interested in revolutionizing the healthcare industry with this blood testing device that could detect diseases with just a finger prick. So it was this really, really small device. If you find pictures of her, you could see a photo of her holding this really, really small device that she said would be able to be used to diagnose or detect diseases. And so she presented herself as this Steve Jobs type character. She always had on like a black turtleneck, hair pulled back, very simple. She made her voice a little deeper, kind of like that Silicon Valley bro type of demeanor. It was pretty peculiar how she presented herself, but she really sold this dream of this medical device. She ended up dropping out of school, hence the name The Dropout for the show, in order to pursue this. But guess what, y'all? The product never even worked. She stepped into this leadership role building this company without any technical knowledge at all. because she was only 19, or proof of the concept. So they ended up launching prematurely, making unverified claims about the capabilities of their technology, and it led to inaccurate medical results in real people and a huge public scandal. It was so bad that she ended up being charged with fraud and then later convicted for misleading investors. I mean, there were parts in the show where she was going to an investor meeting and they had duplicated the screen of whatever testing device they were using to make it look as if the product worked, but it didn't. This whole time they were collecting money, making claims. They even launched this in, I want to say Walgreens, but some type of regular drugstore pharmacies. They even launched this in different pharmacies across the world and had people taking these tests, and it did not work at all. But this was a massive failure that landed her in jail as a result of premature leadership, because she had this unchecked ambition. Clearly, a lot of compromises happened ethically, and that led to just these disastrous consequences. And so this is just another example where you need more than a vision. The guy from WeWork, he had a great vision that everybody bought into. Elizabeth Holmes had this huge vision that even her professors at her Ivy League school before she dropped out bought into. But you still need the details, the preparation, the accountability. You need that transformation and that preparation that is provided in that wake. We not only see the consequences or the dangers of premature leadership in the real world. I mean, we talked about how we see it in the government, how we see it in corporate, how we see it in business. Let's go back to the word to see how premature leadership has presented itself in the text. I specifically want to draw your attention to the sons of Sceva. And this story is found in Acts 19. I'm going to read verses 13 through 19. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirits leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. So the sons of Sceva were a group of about seven Jewish men who attempted to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Their father, Sceva, he's described as a Jewish high priest in verse 14, which means that they likely had a religious knowledge and background. But their actions show that they didn't have a true relationship with Jesus or authority to do what they attempted. Because if you go back to the text, they said, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. It wasn't, I command you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. So they were out here trying to do what Paul was doing. It was a lot of witchcraft happening in this particular time, a lot of sorcery, because even if you read verse 17 to 19, it talked about how when the news of this spread, so many people burned all of their sorcery and witchcraft spell materials and all of that and gave their life to Christ. So this situation was still used to glorify the Lord, but they were seeing Paul come and perform miracles. I mean, people were touching cloth and all of these different things and getting healed. Paul, with the power of the Holy Spirit, was out here really doing some work. And they were doing counterfeit work with all of their witchcraft. So when they encountered that true power of the Holy Spirit based off of what Paul was doing, they tried to fake like they could do that too, but they didn't have the power or the authority to do it. And that's why it didn't work. Instead of them having a personal relationship with Jesus, they were trying to use Paul's authority and experience. They were trying to use secondhand faith. Does that sound familiar? How many of you have found yourself relying on secondhand faith? Relying on the prayers of your grandmother, relying on the sermons that you watch, but never actually getting into the word yourself. Relying on other people that you see have authority through the Holy Spirit, but not developing that intimate relationship with the Lord for yourself. We could look at these stories in the Bible of these people and judge, but a lot of their behavior isn't too different than a lot of the behavior that we exude or that we see today. One of the reasons why the Lord has you in a waiting season and why he's giving you the instruction not to go, launch, create just yet is because the authority that you're going to need to sustain what he is calling you to do, it comes from relationship, true relationship, not association. You being associated with a certain ministry or associated with a certain pastor or a spiritual authority is not going to be enough. These men of Sceva, they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know him personally. And many people you get or step into leadership because you've been around great leaders, but you haven't taken the time to allow the Lord to develop your personal capacity, to develop your wisdom, or give you the anointing that you need to lead effectively. I remember where the church we were at wanted my husband and I to become ministers. And they were looking to ordain us. And I reluctantly agreed initially. But after my husband and I talked about it a lot more, we decided not to. Because for me, my reluctance came from I felt like I still needed some development before being placed in that capacity. I was in a space where I was pregnant, getting ready to have my second son. I was already navigating motherhood and entrepreneurship. I was trying to figure out what life was going to look like with another child and then navigating motherhood again with multiple children. I started the studio, so I have multiple businesses now. And so I did not feel like I was at a space where I was ready to be able to handle this leadership position. And I know that it's God's will for me to lead in a traditional ministry sense, but it felt premature for me at that time because there was still things that I was working out and things that I was learning to prioritize in a flow that I just didn't have yet within myself, within my home, et cetera, that I needed to have settled before I could go out and lead anybody else. And I believe that to this day that was a wise decision on my husband and I's part, because who knows who we would have bled out on had we jumped the gun. So don't be like these men of Sceva relying on secondhand faith. Because what can happen to us when we do that is the same thing that happened to them. They were overpowered and defeated. Verses 15 and 16 said, one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. This demonic spirit that was in this man recognized true authority. He recognized Jesus. He recognized Paul. But he exposed them and these sons of Sceva because of their lack of power. And instead of them being victorious, which is what happens when you're operating from the true power of the Holy Spirit, we have the victory. But instead of that, because they were operating under this secondhand faith, this false power, they became a spectacle. They were beaten, they were humiliated, and they were exposed. And the same thing will happen to us. We will get overpowered. If we try to jump the gun, rely on secondhand faith, we will become overpowered by the circumstances. We will become overpowered spiritually because there's going to be warfare and we're not going to be equipped to handle it because we didn't give the Lord time to equip us and work through us. We're going to be overwhelmed and overhauled by the responsibility and the pressure that comes from leadership. We are going to be overpowered by the type of decisions that you're going to have to make in that space. We're going to be overpowered by it all on all different fronts if we do not take the time to be properly developed. I'm going to give you some more people to study because I want you to write this down and for you to use it when you start to feel impatient, We start get that itch of just getting out of God's timing, when that zeal and excitement wants to push you past what the Lord said. Or if you're frustrated and impatient and feeling a certain type of way about the wait, I want you to study this as well, because this will be a very sobering Bible study for you. And I believe that it'll encourage you, not in a vanity way of, hey, it's going to be all right, God will not bring you this far just to bring you this far, but it will be something where you can see, no, I have to go through this because I don't want to be like that. So write these people down. This is who I want you to study. Study King Saul. His mistake was he acted out of impatience, and he ended up losing his kingdom. Study Moses, because before he led the people out of exile, he tried to take things into his own hands when he went and he murdered somebody. And so that caused him to be exiled for about 40 years as well. And it delayed what the Lord was doing. Study again the sons of Sceva here, who were trying to lead without true authority and they were humiliated. Study Abraham and Sarah, because they tried to force God's promise by Abraham sleeping with Hagar in order to have a son because Sarah wasn't able to get pregnant. This created all types of generational conflict. Study Rehoboam, who ignored wisdom and that caused division within the kingdom. And then study Uzzah, who acted without permission and died. So the list of these will be in the show notes as well for you. So these are more people and circumstances for you to study to help you in this season and to help you not lead prematurely. So we've spent the last 30 minutes discussing the dangers of premature leadership, the implications of it in government and business and corporate. We looked at the word. We have explored this in great detail. Now the question remains, so how do we avoid it? I want to give you 4 simple tips on how you can avoid premature leadership. Number 1 is learn from the mistakes of those who came before you. We have access to so much in the Bible. This is part of the reason why we're doing this Bible on Business series. I just gave you a full list of people who led prematurely and gave you a brief sentence or a couple words of how they led prematurely and what the consequences were. But I want you to go study their stories in detail. And as believers in general, we should always be studying our word, because that's going to give us the wisdom that we need to make the best decisions. Also, as an entrepreneur, you should become a student of business. If you have a business idea, the Lord has called you to that space. Don't just be an expert in whatever it is, the product or service that you provide, but also really dive deep into business stuff. Be a student of business. I give you these case studies of the guy from WeWork or the lady from Theranos because I want you to get used to studying business cases. You can do so through simple online research. You could read on like CNN Business, Forbes. There are so many different business documentaries where you can see how people fail. There are television shows. You have shows like The Profit, Shark Tank, so many, all the Gordon Ramsay shows where he goes in and like fixes businesses and things like that. There's so many ways that you can study business in an entertaining way and in a more textbook way as well. So if you're going to be an entrepreneur, be a student of business. If you have a business idea, do a business plan. It's not something that you're turning in for an A, but it's something that is going to require you to think long term, to focus on the details and to ask yourself the necessary questions so that you can avoid or create plans to avoid preventable mistakes. I have a cousin who was thinking about investing in a business. He wanted to buy a franchise and he wanted my opinion on his business plan. And he sent it to me. And the business plan he sent me was real basic, and I added a lot of comments on there because the mistake that I believe he make is one that so many of us make. We just go through the motions. So, for example, in the part where it talks about like the market, where you're supposed to describe what the market is that you're getting ready to go into. How does your product or service fit within that market and all of those things? He just wrote whatever what it was that he was trying to do. And that's it. And named the different industries, but didn't pull in the details of these industries. How big are these industries? Who has the most market share? Why do they have the most market share? What gaps or problems are being left that this new company can solve? There's so many details that we're missing. And there's so many details that we miss. And again, our excitement has us going out and launching these businesses, but we haven't fleshed out the idea. We haven't validated the idea. Is there actually a market for what it is that you're doing? Or are you just doing stuff? The Lord doesn't just give us business ideas, but he gives us strategy. He lets us know the gap in the market that we're solving. The Lord will help you even figure out and flesh through the business plan for your business. But so many of us skip that step because of excitement and zeal and fall right into that trap of premature leadership. So again, how you avoid it, number one, is to learn from the mistakes of those who came before you. And you do that as a student of the word and as a student of business and your particular industry. Number two, you need to develop the character and the skill required for where you're going to be leading in. If you're a new believer, you do not need to be a church leader. It tells us that in 1 Timothy 3 and 6. It says a church leader must not be a new believer because he might become proud and the devil will cause him to fall. But whatever it is that you're doing, you have to develop the character and the skill that is required for it. That goes back to what I was saying about studying, being a student of business. So you have to develop skills there. Also, you have to develop your character. I know a lot of people say, I don't really like people like that. I'm not a people's person. So how are you going to be an entrepreneur when the job is to serve people? Come on, make it make sense. That's rooted in hurt. That's rooted in pain. That's rooted in some areas that need to be developed before you hop out there in any capacity. I want to also point out that this is not a space to be self-reliant, for you to psychoanalyze yourself and to determine what skills you need or what character needs to be developed. The Lord will reveal to you. There are some things that you know, right? So if you do have, let's say, some traumatic past dealings with women, but the Lord has called you to lead a women's ministry, okay, you might need to deal with that so that you can appropriately serve and connect with the women that you're called to. If you're in ministry, any type of service work, but you're not in tune with your emotions, when the Bible says how we're supposed to carry the burdens of one another, but you have so many emotional walls up, you're physically incapable of doing that. That is something that you need to recognize and go into therapy and prayer to deal with so that you can be effective in that role. So there are some things that are obvious that we need to deal with, but there are other things that the Lord will reveal to us that are a lot less obvious. And that's why connection to him matters, because we don't know anything. We're not supposed to be parenting ourselves. We're supposed to be submitted to him. So those blind spots, those things that we can't recognize in our own fleshly eyes, he will bring to our attention. For me, a lot of that character development had to do with pride. I had pride in a lot of ways that I didn't recognize it as that. Because I wasn't out loud and proud and trying to boast about what I'd done, because that's not necessarily my personality. I thought that I didn't have a pride problem. But the Lord showed me all the sneaky ways in which it was present and active in my life that I had to deal with and be on guard for when the enemy comes back to re-tempt me with it. So again, this number two of developing character and skills, don't just rely on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord to reveal what you may not recognize as well. The third thing I want you to do to avoid premature leadership is embrace this preparation process. While you have your podcast, if you got one listen, embrace it before you get to 1 million. If you make one sale in your business, embrace it before sales are a regular thing. That first product you created, embrace it. The community, while it's small, embrace it. whatever step of the process that you are in, embrace it, even the painful parts. If you're in a season where the Lord is pruning you, he is just stripping you down and doing what he does so that he can build you back up and make you whole, it doesn't feel good. It's not fun. It hurts. It hurts. However, embrace it, because the Lord is a master craftsman. And if he is taking his time to mold you, to prune you, to build you up into his masterpiece, when you're his workmanship, that's something to embrace and get excited about. And then number four, wait for the Holy Spirit's confirmation. Wait. I think we need to do a whole episode discussing the Holy Spirit, because we're already at 42 minutes and I feel that there are a lot of misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like we need to break that down a lot more. So for right now, what I'm going to say is just wait for the Holy Spirit's confirmation. Remember in Acts, Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem, wait. He was going to send them the Holy Spirit. That was what empowered them to go out and do everything that they did after that. And they did. And it is through the workings of the Holy Spirit through them that they were able to accomplish as much as they did, that they were able to impact generations as they did. So whatever it is the Lord is calling you to do, don't do it without his Spirit. Not that false spirit that the sons of Sceva was out there trying to counterfeit. No, the Holy Spirit. Don't go without him. So I think this is a good place to end. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I pray that this blessed you. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus, with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate, and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.